All right. We're studying Luke 17, verse 9, and talking about commanded. So let's look at it real quick. We're going to spend part of today at least on this idea of what the idea of commandment. So let's go to Matthew 5. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle shall be in no wise passed from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. And then it goes on to expand what that means. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, it says, if whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. The idea, well, let's go to the next one and see if we can understand it better. Go to James chapter 2. Except you exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, he shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Chapter 2, verse 1 of James. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and saith unto him, sit here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not become partial in yourselves? And are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convicted of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. If thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, and that showeth no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. There are many other scriptures like this that say, if you offend in one small point, then you are guilty of the whole law. If you use the law for anything, then you must be judged by the whole law. It's either total abandonment of self, or you have to keep the whole law. There's no in between. This should give us pause. Because do you abandon yourself? Do you use cause and effect? If you do, then you, scriptures say you have to keep the whole law. It's either all freedom or it's all law. There's no in between. It's either all abandonment of self or the whole law. There's no in between. There's no neutral ground. Everybody understand that?
Can't be doing pretty good.
Huh?
You can't be pretty good. That's really bad. Because then you think you're righteous. I was thinking we live in cause and effect just like we live in the world, which is based on cause and effect.
But if you use cause and effect, then you're guilty of the whole law. That's what this is saying. There's abandonment and there's the law. Those are the only two places.
How do you use cause and effect?
Well, I mean, if you, one and one is two. If I do this, that will happen. If I don't do this, that won't happen. The whole realm of cause and effect. In order to do this, I have to do that. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now this is, if you use it, if I say I have to do this in order to get that, then I'm using it.
Say this up here.
Hmm?
If you're using the elements of the world to gain prestige, power, money.
No, if you use cause and effect in your daily life for anything.
I understand. I'm saying that.
Okay.
I'm just thinking, if I have to write a contract with a person to get a job, somehow that doesn't seem to be using cause and effect.
I don't think it is.
Why? How can you not think it is?
Essentially, contracts are cause and effect.
Didn't there scripture use the world but don't use it?
That's the key point, Pete. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's abusing those things. It's not using them.
self-aggrandizement.
For self anything.
For anything. Anything self, yes. Yes.
And that's a pretty...
But a contract isn't an employment contract, or, I mean, it's not. It's the intent of abusing it, like Pete says, that's put you over the edge.
Well, we just had to deal with this, and I had to deal with it in a big way. One of our board members couldn't serve on the board until we got directors and officers insurance. And so we got directors and officers insurance. It was a big deal in me to see whether or not that was cause and effect.
You were wise as a serpent.
What?
That's being wise as a serpent.
Well, here's what I had to do with that. I had to say, Father, I don't know what else to do. Forgive me if I'm in a bad place.
You felt like getting the officer's indemnity was cause and effect?
Yes. All I'm saying to any of you, you can justify all kinds of things, but I'm saying if you have to use anything of the world that you feel you have to do it, don't do it by justifying it. Do it from the lower seat. If Gary has to use cause and effect to write a contract, all I'm asking him to do is say, Father, I don't know what else to do. If it's not a... It's either, this is either true or it's not. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Use it, but don't abuse it.
Well, find me that scripture and see if it's if it really sounds like that.
Yeah, it may not be, but that's the way I remember it. That's
well,
I mean,
somebody got to do some homework.
Yeah.
But I'm saying to you, look, all I'm saying is always take the lowest seat. Don't ever justify yourself.
How do we get the justification from this? I don't follow it.
The first thing Jesus said to his disciples, take no thought, abandon yourself completely. Take no thought for what you're going to do, for what you're going to eat, for what you're going to wear, for what you're going to anything. Take no thought. If I think I have to take thought for something, then I say, Father, I don't know what else to do. This is, if Gary has to use cause and effect for writing a proposal, then if he takes a low seat, maybe God has a way that he should have all kinds of money flowing into him without any effort. All I'm saying is take the lowest seat. The tendency of the human mind is to always try to justify something.
Don't go to justification from this. That's not where I'm going. That's not my point. Obviously, justification is evil, and you can't justify things.
Well, you were using a scripture that Pete brought up.
Well, I thought I'd heard it before. Isn't it in the scriptures?
Well, what I'm saying is let's make sure it says that. Don't use that to justify something that you think is necessary. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
There's another scripture, renders unto Caesar what Caesar and unto God what's God's. And
if Caesar demands what's God's, you go quietly into Caesar's prison. You don't resist.
Well, yeah,
that's the add-on.
Yeah, that's the add-on we put on it. But to me, that tells me that, all right, contract required.
I was talking about taxes.
Well, it's a world. It's a part of the world system.
Look, there's no clear answer to each and everything that we do. All I'm saying to you and to everyone that's listening is if it says whatsoever is not of faith is sin, then there has to be some recognition of that. And so if I have to use something that isn't faith, then I have to say, Father, I don't know what else to do.
Can you write a contract in faith and be part of
faith? No.
Because God has given me the things that I do that are set before me, and I do those things.
But my point, Gary, is he may have something totally different to do. That's all I'm saying is if you feel you have to do that, than say, I don't know what else to do, Father. That's all I'm saying. Is whatever these issues come up and they're legion, whenever you're doing something that is not of faith, saying, Father, I don't know what else to do.
And I'm viewing a contract as, I do see the cause and effect of a contract. Then again, what is your intent? Is it for control and power and
it,
abuse?
It doesn't
or
matter.
Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Is it fairness and protection with basically no abuse of interest?
But that has nothing to do with it.
Where's your scripture about faith and sin? Whatever.
Romans 14.
What is it?
Romans 14. He's talking about eating.
I'm sorry?
Well, let's go to Romans 14.
I just want to see it in this context.
Okay, it's verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned, if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Why is it?
I've never been convicted by the Spirit or any other entity for doing business. I mean, it's just foreign that's sin. If it's really sin, then why is there no real unction by the Holy Spirit?
Well,
and I think if I were doubting what I was doing, and if there was something going on to stir it up, it would be easier to say amen. But there isn't that. So I have no reason to apologize to God for having to perform my given duties, given way to provide for.
Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Go to verse 31.
Matthew 6.
Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The idea of I can only tell you how I see these. I'm only asking you to consider them. The idea, in most translations of the Bible, all these earlier ones, take no thought, take no thought, take no thought. It says that don't be anxious, don't be nervous about.
To me, it means live in the moment, not in the future.
Well, take no thought for tomorrow.
Yeah, don't live there. Be present.
But again, hear me. I'm saying to you that there's, in my view and understanding of the scriptures, there's a way of living that is total and complete abandonment of self. And that's where the freedom of life is. There are no cares, there are no worries, there are nothing. There's no concern. And all I'm saying is, for me, that's why every time that I feel I have to use anything, I always say, Father, forgive me. I don't try to look up a scripture that may give me permission to do that. The idea of because all those things do I have to use this mind, this thing, this instead of Christ, to do all these things that we take for granted. And I believe that using this mind to do anything has to have as its source something that isn't the faith. And all I'm saying to you is, just in case that's true, if you feel you have to use this to take the lowest seat, instead of just doing it, now, it's up to each one of you to decide whether or not that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You have to make that position. You have to find out if that's true. You have to find out for sure whether or not the instead of Christ is the default position, so that you can be transfigured by the renewing of your mind, so you can test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, which is Christ in you. To see if he did nothing of himself after his baptism. And I'm saying to you, and I know this is radical as it gets, I'm saying to you, as I search the scriptures, that it seems to me that for me, I can no longer take thought for myself for anything. And if I reach a point where it seems like I have to, then I say, Father, forgive me, I don't know what else to do. And all I'm asking you to do is consider that.
I have maybe a parallel to this, I'm not sure, but I'll say the idea of the commandment, which you pointed out yesterday. Take it back to the study we went through about the red heifer, who could have no burden whatsoever placed.
Yeah, not even a lion's burden. That's a good point.
And if a commandment is taken to heart to perform, it's a burden. And then there's a whole lot of them. Like you say, the Bible's filled with them. The New Testament's filled with them. So how do you discern then spirit from soul, spirit from flesh?
about, how about?
When you find yourself doing that, and I go through this, this is not an absent thing for me during the day. I find myself taking thought and worrying whether or not this is going to happen or that, or if I have enough time. You know, all the forces of the world come against me. But
Hebrews 3 is... This, to me, it addresses this perfectly.
But also the default position, I believe, if I'm listening at all, is repentance. And you turn away. You maybe don't forget what is before you, but you're not consumed by it. You're not restless. You're not scared. You're not filled with anxiety. Deal with it from a position of rest and peace. I mean, that's in theory, that's really easy. But
well, the question is, do you? And the answer is no.
And I do believe I do.
Okay. Let's go to Hebrews 3.
Hebrews 3?
Hebrews 3. And see if maybe the Holy Spirit isn't speaking to us in a kind of a dramatic way here. Verse 7, wherefore the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart or in their inner man. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, therefore, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom he sware that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from before the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day as in this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his labors. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then there would not be afterward if spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You cease from your own labors of any sort. That's what it means to enter the rest. And I'd be I couldn't live by myself if I didn't talk about what it means to enter the rest. It means you've totally 100% ceased from your own labors of any kind. The rest is no longer a day of the week. The rest is the word Sabbath. Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. He is the day of the week. He is the life. He is, and nothing proceeded from him. He can of his own self do nothing as Son of Man. And we're in the same boat. At some point, we have to face this. Have we ceased from our own labors? Did you hear the voice in Revelation? Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, what did it say?
Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord.
From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest
from their labors
and their works
do follow them.
Not lead them.
Yeah,
every work will follow, not lead. Now that's what's set before you. If there's no conviction by the Holy Spirit, if you're not there, I don't know what to do except preach the cross. I can't preach the cross and justify any way of using your mind for anything. All I'm asking you to do is to consider these things. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their own labors and their works do follow them, not lead them. And that's in every single arena of life. Think on these things. Any response? No, I understand.
You know, and so it sounds like there's opposition, and there is, because you can't say amen to something you don't agree with or understand. You're fooling yourself.
No, that's the perfect response. I'm not asking you to.
Yeah.
I'm asking you to consider that this may be something dramatic.
Yeah.
That's totally unknown in today's church. Duplicate a small group turning the world upside down because they'd emptied completely. All right, take it, big guy.